Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
We're in the book of Judges, chapter 6, starting what I hope will be a three-part series on Gideon, the 6th, 7th, and 8th chapters of Judges deal with the story of Gideon. But in Judges, chapter 6, we have part 1 of Gideon's story, and I'm titling that Preparing God's Warrior. Now, the story all ties together. I hope you'll read the whole thing straight through, but we're going to focus just in chapter 6 today. This is God's Word. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Because the power of Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern peoples invaded the country. They camped on the land and ruined the crops all the way to Gaza and did not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep nor cattle nor donkeys. They came up with their livestock and their tents like swarms of locusts. It was impossible to count the men and their camels. They invaded the land to ravage it. Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord for help. When the Israelites cried to the Lord because of Midian, he sent them a prophet who said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I snatched you from the power of Egypt and from the hand of all your oppressors. I drove them from before you and gave you their land. I said to you, 'I am the Lord, your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live.' But you have not listened to me." The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "But sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hand of Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" "But Lord," Gideon asked, "how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." The Lord answered, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together." Gideon replied, "If now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it is really you talking to me. Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you." And the Lord said, "I will wait until you return." Gideon went in, prepared a young goat, and from an ephah of flour he made bread without yeast. Putting the meat in a basket and its broth in a pot, he brought them out and offered them to him under the oak. The angel of God said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened bread, place them on this rock, and pour out the broth." And Gideon did so. With the tip of the staff that was in his hand, the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread. Fire flared from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread. And the angel of the Lord disappeared. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, "Ah, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." But the Lord said to him, "Peace, do not be afraid. You are not going to die." So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it, "The Lord is Peace." To this day, it stands in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. That same night, the Lord said to him, "Take the second bull from your father's herd, the one 7 years old. Tear down your father's altar to Baal and cut down the Asherah pole beside it. Then build a proper kind of altar to the Lord your God on top of this height. Using the wood of the Asherah pole that you cut down, offer the second bull as a burnt offering." So Gideon took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord told him. But because he was afraid of his family and the men of the town, he did it at night rather than in the daytime. In the morning, when the men of the town got up, there was Baal's altar demolished, with the Asherah pole beside it cut down, and the second bull sacrificed on the newly built altar. They asked each other, "Who did this?" When they carefully investigated, they were told, "Gideon, son of Joash, did it." Men of the town demanded of Joash, "Bring out your son. He must die, because he has broken down Baal's altar and cut down the Asherah pole beside it." But Joash replied to the hostile crowd around him, "Are you going to plead Baal's cause? Are you trying to save him? Whoever fights for him shall be put to death by morning. If Baal really is a god, he can defend himself when someone breaks down his altar." So that day they called Gideon Jerubbaal, saying, "Let Baal contend with him, because he broke down Baal's altar." Now all the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern peoples joined forces and crossed over the Jordan and camped in the valley of Jezreel. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, summoning the Abiezrites to follow him. He sent messengers throughout Manasseh, calling them to arms, and also into Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali, so that they too went up to meet them. Gideon said to God, "If you will save Israel by my hand as you have promised, look, I will place a wool fleece on the threshing floor. If there is dew only on the fleece and all the ground is dry, then I will know that you will save Israel by my hand as you said." And that is what happened. Gideon rose early the next day. He squeezed the fleece and wrung out the dew, a bowlful of water. Then Gideon said to God, "Do not be angry with me. Let me make just one more request. Allow me one more test with the fleece. This time, make the fleece dry and the ground covered with dew." That night, God did so. Only the fleece was dry. All the ground was covered with dew. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Okay, once again, look at the backdrop of this story. God's going to bring Gideon as a deliverer, but we read again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. The first time we saw that phrase in the book of Judges, and it repeats over and over, we said that what really matters is not other people's opinion. It's what is God's view? If it was evil in the eyes of the Lord, it doesn't matter if everybody else is in favor. If everybody else thinks it's a great plan, great idea, not okay. God's view is what matters. And the Israelites, once again, did evil in the eyes of the Lord. After 7 years, the people cried out to the Lord, verse 6. Midian so impoverished the Israelites, they cried out to the Lord. They were living in mountain clefts and caves and strongholds. They were losing everything. And so they finally, after 7 years, cried out to the Lord. And when the Israelites cried to the Lord, verse 7, because of Midian, he sent them a tall, muscular swordsman who was extremely eloquent and able to rally everyone to his cause. Is that what it says? No. He sent them a prophet. Because when God delivers his people, it's all about relationship. And so the first thing his people needed in order for them to be set free from bondage was to get reacquainted with the God of Israel. They needed to rediscover who God is, what he says, what he has done, and what he commands. That was the first step. He sent them a prophet, verse 8, who said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I snatched you from the power of Egypt and from the hand of all your oppressors. I drove them from before you and gave you their land. I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live. But you have not listened to me." The first thing that people need in order to get out of bondage is to rediscover who God is, to realize what God says, to realize what God has done, and to realize what God demands. That's the first stage of deliverance. Now, having proclaimed himself to his people, God continues that process. He goes to where Gideon is. Verse 11, "The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites." Why was he threshing wheat in a wine press? Because he's trying to stay out of sight. This is a terrible, inefficient way to do this with the wheat. Why is he doing it? Because he doesn't want to be seen. He's afraid. He's not praying. He's threshing wheat. He's not in the wine press saying, "Oh Lord, reveal yourself to me." He just wants some food. Okay? God has begun to reveal himself to his people, and Gideon is not following the prophet around. Gideon is hiding out in a wine press on the property of his father, who runs the local Baal and Asherah shrine. Very unlikely place for God to raise up a deliverer. Not only that, but he says, "Our clan is the least in the tribe, and I'm the least in my family." Okay? So this is an unlikely situation, but God shows up there, and it does not say how long the angel sat and watched him. But Gideon apparently was not aware of what the angel was doing. But the angel was aware of what Gideon was doing. And even when you and I are not seeking God, God is seeking us. And he sees what you're up to. And he knows when you're not looking for a great spiritual experience, you're just looking for your next meal. But God can meet you there. And when God speaks to him, God not only reveals himself to us, God reveals us to us. Look at what he says to Gideon. "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Gideon is the least in his family. His family is not great. They're not godly. And the Lord calls him a mighty warrior. "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." I mean, God could have said to him, "The Lord is with you, you loser. The Lord is with you, you coward. The Lord is with you, you nobody." But instead, the Lord tells him what God saw. Because God sees what he's going to do and what he's going to make of us. Mighty warrior. It reminds me of a fella who was unable to have kids because his wife was barren. His name was almost an embarrassment. It meant exalted father, Abram. And God had said to him, "You're going to be a father." But it wasn't happening. I mean, it wasn't just years that went by. It was decades that went by. No children. And God appears to him and he says, "I'm changing your name. From now on, you're not to be called Abram, exalted father. You are to be called Abraham, which means father of many." I mean, why would God do that? That just seems a little mean, doesn't it? He's making fun of me. And it must have seemed a little like sarcasm to Gideon when the angel says, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." He wasn't a warrior, except in God's eyes. The reason Gideon was going to be a mighty warrior is because the Lord says, "I'm with you. The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Verse 12, he says it. In verse 16, he says it. And in verse 14, he says, "Go in the strength that you have. I'm sending you." "I don't have any strength." "Oh, but you do." "Why?" "Because I'm sending you. If I'm sending you, then you have power. God will give you what you need to do what he commands. Always." Say, "Well, I don't have any strength in myself." Well, good, you know that. But you do have strength if you go in my name, if you go in my power, because I will be with you. When I read this, I say, okay, well, that's really cool. But then I read other stuff in the Bible like that too. You know what Jesus says to his followers? The light of the world, Jesus Christ, says to his followers, "You are the light of the world." Excuse me, what? "You are the light of the world. Don't hide your light under a bushel." The light of the world, really? Me? This world is full of rottenness and decay. There's all kinds of terrible things happening. He says, "Well, you're the salt. Get busy. You're supposed to make a difference." I read in John's gospel, Jesus says, "I want you to know that the Father loves you just like he loves me." And I think, that can't be right. I mean, I understand why he loves Jesus. Jesus is perfect. But me? Jesus says he loves you just like he loves me. Just as he loves me, that's the way he loves you. And I want you to know it. It's important for you to know that's how much he loves you. Wow. It's all about relationship. And God not only reveals himself to us, he reveals us to us. And we need to start believing what God says about us. That's point number one. Say, how long will we be here? I'll just keep listening. Point number two, God demands obedience. First of all, look at the miracle that took place with the offering on the rock. "Please do not go away," verse 18, "until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you." And the Lord said, "I will wait until you return." Gideon went in, prepared a young goat. Now, prepared a young goat, that's several steps, okay? "And from an ephah flour he made bread without yeast. Putting the meat in a basket and its broth in a pot, he brought them out and offered them to him under the oak." Okay, that's worship. But that's not all that there is to worship. Because the Lord didn't say, "That's great, I'll take it from here." The Lord gave him instructions. The angel of God said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened bread, place them on this rock, and pour out the broth." And Gideon did so. He's learning to obey. If you want to be in relationship with God, he's in charge. Okay? He reveals who he is. He reveals who we are in him. And he starts telling us what to do. And we need to do what he says. Gideon did so. And with the tip of the staff that was in his hand, the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread. And fire flared from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread, and the angel of the Lord disappeared. And when Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he was terrified. He thought he was going to die. And the Lord spoke to him and said, "You're not going to die. Don't be afraid. Peace to you. Shalom." You see, God had a plan for Gideon. And it started with God revealing himself to Gideon. And then Gideon, in light of who God is, was going to have to learn to see himself in a whole new way. So Gideon built an altar to the Lord and called it, "The Lord is Peace." And to this day, it still stands there. That same night, the Lord said to him, take the second bull from your father's herd, the one 7 years old, tear down your father's altar to Baal, and cut down the Asherah pole beside it. Then build a proper kind of altar to the Lord your God on top of this height. Using the wood of the Asherah pole that you cut down, offer the second bull as a burnt offering. So he did as the Lord told him, but he did it with several of his servants in the middle of the night. Why? Because he was afraid of what others would think. Not exactly stepping into the mighty warrior role completely, right? Now, he's being obedient, and the Lord accepts his obedience. But even doing it that way almost cost him his life. Now, the people had been crying out to God, but they were continuing in idolatry. The prophet has come to them and said, I commanded you to worship me and me alone and not to worship the God of the Amorites, but you have not listened. They're still not listening. Joash, Gideon's father, is running the local shrine. This Asherah pole is a pornographic, blasphemous, demonic image. The Baal is absolutely demonic. And that was the town's gathering place. They gathered to worship. And the next day, when they look and they see that's gone, they want blood. They were supposed to kill those who worshiped those false gods. Instead, they want to kill anybody who interferes with their worshiping false gods. I'll leave you to try and draw parallels to modern culture. Not a new problem we've got today. This is ancient, because it's the same lying spirits. So, God demands obedience. Gideon did what was demanded. Third and final point, God reassures his servant. Verse 34, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, summoning the Abiezrites to follow him. He sent messengers throughout Manasseh, calling them into arms, also into Asher, Zebulun, Naphtali, and they too went up to meet them. But even as the troops are assembling, Gideon's thinking, oh boy, I hope I got this right. Okay? What if this is just some kind of crazy impulse? Gideon said to God, if you will save Israel by my hand as you have promised, look, I'll place a wool fleece on the threshing floor. If there's dew only on the fleece and all the ground is dry, then I will know that you will save Israel by my hand as you said. Verse 38, and that is what happened. Gideon rose early the next day, and he squeezed the fleece and wrung out the dew, a bowl full of water. He wanted to be sure it wasn't just a subjective thing where he touches it and it kind of feels damp. I mean, he takes the fleece up, and he squeezes it, and he fills a bowl with water from the dew that was trapped in the fleece, and the ground all around is dry. And he says, that's what I prayed for. That's a miracle. Thank you, God. And then he starts to think, you know, what if that's what happened anyway? I've never tried this before. What if when you leave a fleece on the ground, it soaks up all the dew, and that's why the ground was dry and the fleece was wet? Oh boy, how can I be sure? And so he prays again, and he says, do not be angry with me. Let me make just one more request. Allow me one more test with the fleece. This time, make the fleece dry and the ground covered with dew. Verse 40, that night, God did so. If your doubts are honest doubts because you want to do God's will, but you want to be sure that you're on track, God will meet you where you are. He understands our frailty. For Gideon, it was scary stuff, but God is faithful, and he can take your life and make something absolutely magnificent if you will trust and obey.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. www.judges.org.